Well, in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, we read these words. In your NIV, which most of you have, raise your hand if you have the NIV this morning. Let me see. All right. Now, all right, those who have the King James, raise your hand. All right. You're outnumbered maybe 2-1 or a little better. And anyone who has any of the other versions of the... Okay, God bless you, the message and so on. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a workman who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly handles the word of truth. And in the good old King James Version, it reads, and I like this one, study to show thyself approved unto God. And that's going to be our text this morning. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. The Message paraphrase reads, concentrate on doing your best for God. Work you won't be ashamed of, laying out the truth plain and simple. And one more, the Cotton Patch version reads, get the lead out of your britches and stand yourself up before God. As a seasoned veteran, a skilled worker, correctly aligning the word of truth. Well, and you would be in order to ask perhaps this morning, Pastor, what are your credentials for being the speaker on Back to School Sunday? Well, I took a split minor in education in college, took materials and methods and two or three other courses that were kind of a terror to me, and I did some substitute teaching in my years as a youth pastor, which doesn't make me an expert on teaching, but makes me forever a teacher's friend. And the principal at Chattanooga Valley Elementary School said, what age group would you like to teach? And I said, oh, third through fifth grade. Big mistake. Big mistake. I could tell you a lot of stories. And finally, I moved over to high school and did a lot better. Anyhow, on top of that, for 6 years, as pastor of the Princeton Church of the Nazarene near Homestead, Florida, which I call North Cuba, I was the ex officio chairman of the board of the Princeton Christian School, K-4 through 12th grades, and the acting principal two or three times during those 6 years. Ugh. But as a pastor called to preach the Word of God, I do think the Bible has a good deal to say about the subject of education, the preparation for life. First of all, this morning, on this Back to School Sunday, point number one, I would like to call all of us, every one of us in this place this morning, back to school. Jesus Christ is truth, and anyone at any age and condition who knows Him should be, is thirsty for truth and to know about life in general. Amen. The founder of the Church of the Nazarene, Phineas Brazee, was a stickler for higher education. And if my memory is correct, either he or one of his members served on the board of one of the prominent universities in California, either USC or UCLA. We were not off to ourselves as a sect. We were in the mainstream of what was going on in the world. And Brazee's dream and passion was that of John Wesley, educate the people. We must know about life. This Bible, this Testament is not the only source of truth, but it is the final authority on truth. And that desire for truth, John 14:6, Jesus answered, "I am the way, the truth, and the life," also engenders a desire for information and knowledge and training. You school teachers need to amen me now. I'm trying to help you here. And I am not talking about formal education alone. If you have done your best to get to school under your circumstances, don't put yourself down for what education you do not have. You can do the best with your opportunities where you are, as you are, to improve yourself. So we're not talking about formal education, as we call it, book learning alone. But we're talking about a desire for knowledge and improvement, as well as much education as we can get. I think it's wonderful that Ralph Smith and a lot of the rest of us read the Bible through every year. God bless those of you who do. If it's either or, do read the Bible and study your Sunday school lesson. But a Christian's desire for information about life in general should be a part of our lives. Dr. W. McCumber, our Nazarene scholar in the state of Georgia, who was editor of the Herald of Holiness and a professor at Eastern Nazarene College and Point Loma Nazarene College, and now is resident in Georgia and has preached, he claims, I believe, more revivals in the Dublin church than any other church in Georgia he can remember, tells that as he makes his way upstairs to his study, somewhere around 4 to 5 o'clock in the morning, his children and grandchildren have sometimes said, "Haven't you studied enough, Grandpa?" And you can imagine Dr. McCumber's answer, something like, "I am just beginning to know the truth." There is so much more for me to know. I was in my mid-50s when I was in graduate classes at Tribeca Nazarene University and was privileged to sit in some of the classes of Dr. William Greathouse. Dr. Greathouse is in his 80s now and has just finished a 2-volume set of commentaries on the book of Romans. I said he's in his mid-80s and has just authored a 2-volume set on the book of Romans. But one day as I was sitting in his class in my mid-50s and someone mentioned a copy of a book someone wrote on Romans, suddenly Dr. Greathouse's eyes grew large and he excitedly said, "Who was it? Who wrote it? Where can I get a copy?" I gave that a lot of thought. Over the weeks and months following that, well, the Lord and I gave it a lot of thought. And it seemed like He was saying to me, what if you were alive and active into your 80s? Life would get dull if you had quit learning. And even now, I write papers, footnotes and all, just like I was still in school, because I want to be the best I can be at what I do. Because I am still in school, studying to show myself approved, a workman of God that needs not be ashamed. Back when I was in graduate studies, I was at the college or maybe a book table at one of our denominational events, and I discovered a book on biblical interpretation, which was required reading for the course on biblical interpretation in which I had enrolled. I laid it down on the book table there with several books I was intending to buy. It was on top of the stack. I had moved to the other side of the table when I saw Jack Hinton. How many know Preacher Jack Hinton? Yeah, he used to pastor at the Mount Olive Church down the road, and he lives in Adrian. He's a New Yorker. And I mean, he's from the city of New York, not the upcountry Zane and Elvira. And God has used him in a powerful way. But I saw Jack Hinton walk up, look at that stack, look at that book, pick it up, and start thumbing through it. He took it with him away from the table and brought it back. Again, he took it away from the table, looking it over, and brought it back. I held my breath because it was the only copy of the book on the table, and I needed the book. Finally, to my relief, he walked off and left it on the table, and I quickly recovered it and the other books and bought the book. Now, what was that all about? Jack Hinton doesn't even know about that he had nearly taken the book that I was supposed to be buying. And what does it have to do with anything? It has to do with the fact that Jack Hinton, in his 80s, is still active and fruitful in ministry. Are we surprised? I've been in his study. How many have been in his study? The block building behind the house in Adrian, where he spends long hours in that huge library with a lot of books. The medical experts say, the mental health experts say, that if your mind dies, your body is most likely not far behind the mind in dying. Jack Smithwick's life has spoken volumes to me in the last few days. I noticed that just two or three days after the doctor declared him unable to see, legally blind, that he had already secured a talking book machine from the library and was using it. In other words, just because I can't see doesn't mean I'm about to allow either my mind or my body to shut down. And I won't be surprised if Jack Smithwick, and we're praying for his healing, amen? And I know God can do it. Let's trust him to do it. But I wouldn't be surprised if he won't win more men and women, boys and girls, to Jesus these days he can't see than before when he could see. And God loves to do those kinds of miracles. He just needs a Jack Hinton who says, okay, I'm still on board with you, Lord. I'm still going to be productive. I've had my own grandchildren walk into my study and say, what you doing, Poppy? And I reply, I'm studying. And the response is, yeah. What for? Because I have to read and study and learn in order to help others to read and study and learn. It's my job. But not just that, I will probably never quit doing it. Don't intend to. And I had a powerful example in my mother who read right up to nearly her death by talking books and could tell you everything she'd read in those talking books. Well, then I explained to my grandkids that when I was their age, I hated school. Bear with me now, teachers. I'm not finished. I'm not finished on this. I hated school and longed for the day when I wouldn't have to study. Boys and girls, do you relate to this? I'd sit and watch people walking down the right sidewalks out there in the cars. I'd say, oh, how nice it would be to be out there doing that right now, not in here where I am. But then, one day, I had a rendezvous with truth. Jesus Christ, who is John 14:6, the way, the truth, and the life. I had an infusion of truth. I had a transfusion with truth. I was adopted into the family of truth, and I awakened to an awareness of a great hunger for truth and life. But just as the Bible contains volumes of history, the story of those who came before us, so do the other books we study, at school and at home and at work and so on. Whatever field you pursue, you will have to study history. And Joe Coley here, our Mercer graduate in history, would say amen to that, I'm sure. Before you study in the field of education, you have to study those who came before you and how they did it, and how they learned what they learned. And often the learning was not only what to do, but what not to do. Before you study in the field of medicine or literature, anything, you have to study those who came before you and how they did it and how they learned what they learned. And often the learning was not only what to do, but what not to do. Any subject you study, history will be a part of your preparation as you pursue that area. And history teaches us what to do again and what not to do. And again, the Bible is a book of history. As has been said, it is H-I-S-S-T-O-R-Y, His story. Jesus Christ is truth. And anyone at any age and condition who knows Him is thirsty for truth and thirsty to know about life in general. We are called of God to continued learning, to continue to be the best we can be. 2 Timothy 2:15, studying to show ourselves approved of God, workmen that need not to be ashamed. Way back in the 1960s, Dr. Richard Taylor, who wrote a classic book on the doctrine of sin entitled A Right Conception of Sin. I was told by Nelson Perdue, I believe it was, that he wrote that book while he was in his 20s. Dr. Taylor also wrote a book called The Disciplined Life. But in that chapel service at Tribeca, he said, "You have no doubt thought to yourself that to be a technician is quite a thing." But he said, "A technician is merely doing what others have decided for them to do, routine things that are laid out for them to do." The real challenge, said Dr. Taylor, for us and for you students who are looking forward to a life of service is that you should be able to create, to invent, and not just carry out perfunctory duties as laid out by others for us. Now, some of you may be very uncomfortable with that and actually offended by that. If your job has the word technician attached to it, and I haven't stopped to think if anybody here does have the word technician attached to it, I guess it could very well offend you, but I want to say to you, I was offended by what Dr. Taylor said when I was a student at Tribeca. Here I am in college, and he ought to appreciate the effort I'm making to just get through and be prepared with my degree. But Dr. Taylor was saying, that's not enough for you. You have greater potential than to just run through the education mill here at the college. It was like he was talking straight at me. And through the years, as I would reflect upon that sermon, I would be annoyed. Until the day I totally surrendered my life to Jesus Christ and let Him fill me with His power and His life. And as a result, I remember when I pastored up in Huntsville, Alabama, those engineers and computer programmers and doctors where we pastored in that church, and I challenged them, God needs the keenest minds and the most gifted. We had one man there who did the pricing for Boeing on the space station. Another man, Moody, was ahead of the welding team on that block-long thing, that lunar booster that took the spaceship up to the moon. Those kinds of people. But I said, God needs the keenest minds and most gifted doing theology and being missionaries. Brandon Foskey walked off with most of the academic awards his senior year in high school. Pastor Marquita put it something like, you might say it was Brandon Foskey night at the awards program at West Lauren School. Brandon has been offered fellowships with all kinds of corporations and pretty much does demand or could what salary he would make. And what's he going to do with it? Well, as you know, he's discerning that God is possibly calling him to be a missionary. What a wonderful thing for Brandon to do with his brilliant gift that God has given him. All that ability, all that training. Well, the years have taught me that Richard Taylor is right. I owe it to God to be the best I can be by His grace and with His anointing and blessing, and He wants it to be consecrated to Him and constantly yielded to Him. Then number two, obviously then, on Back to School Sunday, even though education does contain information and training, it is not truth if it is not tied to Jesus Christ, who is the personification of truth. John 14:6, Jesus answered, I am the way, the truth, and the life. John 8:31-32, to the Jews who had believed, Jesus said, if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples, then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And too many of our educators, as well as many others, have convinced themselves that education by itself is the answer. But if what they out there call an education don't have the truth, capital T-R-U-T-H, working in their lives, then they are in moral darkness, uneducated. Education that is void of the truth is not an education in the purest sense of the word. And as with most of our Americans and our educators and politicians, they have forgotten, it appears, that sin brings folly and disgrace and shame and heartache and ruin. We need to go back to school, don't we? Morally. No matter how much learning, how many degrees, no matter what our grade point average, or no matter how many honor societies we have in which we have membership, any honor that might be gained is at risk because sin brings dishonor. Talk about education. Talk about learning. The psalmist said in Psalm 14, verse 4, and also in Psalm 53, in verse 4, will the evil doers never learn? When you read about our government and our culture in general, you want to ask the question, will the evildoers never learn? Another thing repeated over and again by the psalmist, Psalm 14:1 and Psalm 55:1, is the fool says in his heart, there is no God. And tragically, other than our Christian colleges. That's pretty much, as I understand, the prevailing attitude on our university and college campuses across our country. Wow. There is no God. Or prove it. And then, on back to school Sunday, number three. Thank God for Christian teachers. Thank God for Christian educators in these scary public schools. And they're not scary because of the ineptitude of our teachers. They're scary because of what has been forced upon our teachers. The kinds of things they have to put up with in trying to educate our children. Thank God for our teachers. Christian education is so important because it recognizes that training and giving information, yes, are important, but that learning to use that training and information depends upon our gaining wisdom, which the Bible clearly teaches and history clearly teaches comes only from above. James 1:5, if any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. James 3, verse 13, who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show it by his good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom, which of course, again, James 1, 5, comes only from God. In other words, if you are not well connected to heaven, you are going to make a fool of yourself. Like a lot of these college and university professors who deny the existence of God. An education without this book, the book, is an exercise in foolishness. At Mount Carmel High School, Janelle Day, our Bible teacher, godly, elderly woman, taught us that this book was to be carried at the top of the pile of all of our textbooks. Well, we never cease to be amazed and yet not surprised that smart people can do such dumb things. The tragedies, and I'll pick on both parties, Richard Nixon and Bill Clinton, and others in public life who were ruined. And it also, the list of those who are ruined includes the names of some preachers, because they obviously were not well connected to heaven. And how we do appreciate Christian education. There is a place for Christian schools, but there is also a place for Christian educators in public schools. What a mission. Thank God for our teachers who not only pass learning along, but who demonstrate truth through their personal example and lifestyle and values. Our wonderful teachers we honor today. They could spend hours telling us about Christian ministry out there in secular public schools. Amen, teachers? While I was pastoring in Dalton, a man who owned a service station where I did business came up to me at his station a week or two before Christmas. Handed me $350 to $400 cash and said, go find a family who won't have Christmas this year and use this to pay for it. That's a fun thing to do. Fortunately, there was no case in the church of someone who needed it, or we'd already helped those in the church who needed it. But where did I go to find where the need was? Of course, I called one of our school teachers. And she said, oh, do I ever know about families that need help at Christmas? I was instructed by that teacher to give the money to I met him at one of the prominent department stores in town to give the money to the mother of the children and not to the father, which was kind of an awkward moment. There are a lot of those awkward moments in the ministry. But a compassionate teacher, a compassionate coach is a priceless treasure. And a compassionate teacher and coach knows what's going on in the homes of his, her students. I will never forget a woman by the name of Sarah Rodifer, who bent down one day to me as a child and put her arm around me and said, "What is the problem?" And I melted. And I would have died for that woman who spoke a kind word to me when I really desperately needed a kind word. In review, in conclusion, on this back to school Sunday, number one, I'd like to call all of us back to school to continue learning, to continue to be the best we can be, and to stay yielded and consecrated to God. 2 Timothy 2:15, studying to show ourselves approved of God, workmen that need not be ashamed. I am saying to you what Dr. Richard Taylor said to me as a student at Trevecca College back in 1960, whatever, there, in the mid-60s. And what still rings in my ears, it is, in a nutshell, you can do better than this. I was reading this morning, I'm finishing up a book, The Farewell to Life by Bill Bright, who founded Campus Crusade for Christ and who came up with the Jesus film and so on. Wow. It's his farewell book, The Journey Home. Finishing with joy. Epilogue. Our God is awesome, and He confounds the wisdom of this world. He uses individuals to accomplish His holy purposes throughout the earth. If He can use a young couple from Oklahoma to reach the world with the good news of our Creator, God, and Savior, Jesus Christ, then He can use you in your youth, in your strength, in the declining years, in the throes of pain and suffering, in the seeming despair of the shadow of death. He can use you to pray, to enjoy His presence, to envision great things for Him, and do what you can to move God's kingdom work along day by day in your home, life community, and in that share of global reach with which you connect. And He says, "Since these dying days have come upon me, God has given me some of the most exciting work of my life to do." Wow. A man who's dying says, I'm longing in my dying hours to know more about Jesus. Wow. Well, number two, in conclusion, I'd like to remind us that even though education does contain information and training, it is not truth if it is not tied to Jesus Christ, who is the personification of truth. And now, number three, prepare yourself. I want to ask our teachers who are currently teaching, retired teachers, and those who are presently in college preparing to teach, as well as any other school or education department employees, colleges, schools, whatever, to please stand, would you? And remain standing. Wonderful, wonderful. Come on now, they're still standing. And I want us to give them a good round of appreciation. Let's hear it for our teachers. What do you say? And let's all stand together, please. I don't know anyone other than perhaps the home who has more of an influence on our culture and our nation than our teachers. Wow. May God bless them. The B-I-B-L-E, yes, that's the book for me. I stand alone on the Word. Oh, how about that? We're right together on that. Let's sing it. Okay. The B-I-B-L-E, yes, that's the book for me. I stand alone on the Word of God, the B-I-B-L-E. A great theologian, philosopher, was asked, what is the most profound concept you've ever come out with in your philosophy and your theology? And he said simply, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Wow. He's a wonderful God, and it makes a difference. And oh, what a privilege is ours, daily and hourly, moment by moment, to be instruments of God. I've heard Pastor Don say it at the bedsides of patients and in our conversations. God has us here until He's finished with us. And each of us remains here for a purpose. And we do. And we do. It's not the purpose we would choose, but the blessed thought, like this man, oh, who knows? Maybe he may have won more people than Billy Graham and everybody else put together. Who knows? Who really cares? The issue is, till our dying moment, God has a purpose for our life. And it's up to us to make ourselves available. Say, yes, Lord, yes. Which is a good theme on which us to finish this service today. Let's sing it together.